Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a very stormy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, where it is currently 6 a.m. and 79 degrees. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 19th, 2011, episode 253, sponsored by EZSignsOnline.com. Good morning, horse people.
Yes. You can't have a birthday without the chipmunks. Well, happy birthday, partner.
Thank you very, very much. It's just, you know, so exciting to get a year older when you're in your 30s. Not.
No, well, better than not getting a year older. That's still the alternative.
You make a good point, my friend. Yeah, so thank you very much for the surprise music. And, you know, no birthday is complete without Alvin, Simon, and Theodore.
True. No Christmas, no birthday. You have to have the chipmunks. And, you know, something that makes birthdays kind of special nowadays, I think, is Facebook. Because you wake up and there's a million people that have gotten up before you to wish you happy birthday.
Isn't that fun? That was going to be one of my daily winnies, was that Facebook is just makes your birthday super fun. Because, like you said, I just woke up to my phone going, and you have all these messages of people wishing you happy birthday, including several of our listeners. So I do appreciate that and them. And I just, yeah, Facebook is so fun.
Now, I noticed somebody that posted on our Facebook page a happy birthday with Samantha. And she says, happy birthday to one of the best sisters ever. Love you. Was she mistaken or was that meant for you? Just checking.
No, it was for you. No, that's my sister-in-law, okay, who I will be visiting here very shortly, according
okay
to our listeners.
We'll get to that in a moment. We're going to get to that in a moment. If you want to give us a call for any reason, even to wish Jamie a happy birthday, you can do that at 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238. And, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Easy Signs Online Wednesday edition, we'll start out with a good, clean, educational, and entertaining conversation about dirty blankets. That's right. Fred's to the Rescue, a fellow named Chris, is here, and he's going to educate us all on the ins and outs of cleaning and repairing horse blankets, because it's fast getting to be that time of year in most parts of the country, with the exception of Arizona. And in the second half of the show, Glenn will be leaving the room because the Horse.com's Horse Health Report is all wormy and squirmy. That's right. It's all about learning to live with worms this week, so stay tuned for what could possibly be our highest ew factor segment yet.
Yeah, God. And that was after Jamie yesterday insinuated that I might have worms after I stayed in that hotel in Lebanon. So now I got to listen to this and be all itchy and squirmy.
I wouldn't doubt it. You need to deworm yourself. I'm telling you, ivermectin, you know, when you get the little tube and you twist it to the weight of your horse, just twist it to your weight, which I won't guess, and just go ahead and, Jennifer, shove it down his throat and depress the plunger, and then he'll be fine. He'll poop some worms and he'll be fine.
And on that note. My Daily Winnie goes out to our listeners who are like my fellow brethren, because obviously 99.9% of them agree with me. Because yesterday, Janie at the end of the show announced this little dilemma that she has. She has the choice to go to one final horse trials for the year or to go to Grandma-in-Law's 90th birthday party. She can't do both, so she had to pick one. And we posted that on Facebook, and there were 30 comments from people. And most of them were like, go to Grandma's birthday. She's freaking 90 years old already, and get over your horse thing. And that was rather shocking coming from horse people. I was not expecting that, to be honest. Were you quite expecting the response that we got?
Well, I would like to say that there was a couple people that said, go to the horse trial. She's 90. She won't forget. She won't remember. She won't remember you're not there because she's 90. I did let Chad read some of these, and he thought they were pretty funny. This is my Chad's grandmother's 90th birthday, and the whole family's going to be there. And everybody, I was a little surprised. I'm disappointed in you horsewomen. Everybody said go to the birthday and not go to the horse trial. And then one person was, like, really mad at me. There's one person, Jerry Rupert, I'm going to call you out. No question about it, Grandma. There should be no question in your mind. However, given the perceived resistance to 90% of opinions given, you have apparently already made up your mind that Granny is second saddle to your trials. Just remember, one reaps what they sow. Really? Really, Jerry? Thanks.
And, you know, there were a lot of very intelligent comments in there. Lisa Bike, who's a regular listener, you know, definitely the granny, even though she's an in-law. She qualified that. There was a lot of very interesting comments. Tom Rittenhouse chimed in, sort of on your side. Tom, you're always on my side. You're part of the Man Nation here. He said, she's 90. How long can she hold a grudge?
See, but what Tom forgets is it is not the granny-in-law that I would be worried about holding a grudge. It would be the mother-in-law holding
That's
a
correct.
Grudge.
And the entire in-law family.
Yes, the entire
in-law
family. We're
then going to be saying to Chad, we told you shouldn't have married her.
Thanks. appreciate that, Glenn. So, yeah, I would like to let everybody know that we made a decision.
Oh, decision's been made. What is it? Drum roll.
We bought tickets to San Francisco last night to go to the birthday.
Good for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well,
congratulations,
you know,
on being an adult.
Granted, we posted this on Facebook. And, you know, 99% of our listeners yelled at me and told me, although I did like Wendy Rodriguez's because she wrote, if Granny's nice, go be with her. If she isn't, go to the trial. But I don't know her all that well, but she did send me a birthday card. And when I got the birthday card in the mail yesterday, I was like, okay, we're going to her party. Because
an
if
omen.
She remembers, I know, it was like a sign. Granny sent me a birthday card, and I thought that it was nice. I've only met her once years ago, and she, I mean, they're 90, so she couldn't even come to the wedding. So, you know, it's not like I've spent a ton of time with this woman, but she is family, and she is. She did send me a birthday card, and it was like getting in the mail with a sign. So we bought the tickets right after that to go. And I would like for Glenn to call my instructor, my coach, and tell her that I will not be attending the horse trial because she's going to be mad.
All right, we can call her on the air. That won't be a problem. I'm sure she won't mind that. I'll talk.
Yeah. You talk to her. So, yeah, the
I'll
decision was made, and I will be going to a woman's 90th birthday party I hope you're all proud of yourself. But I would like to say that the listeners were not the defining factor. The birthday card was not the defining factor. None of this mattered until I called my mother.
She listened to the show, didn't she?
No, she didn't even hear it. I just called her and I was like, hey, can I run something by you? Well, she almost could feel her hand come through the phone and grab me by the neck, telling me that if I don't get my butt to that party, she is going to disown me. So, all you listeners, I do appreciate it. It didn't matter what you said, but when my mama told me I had to go, I had to go.
All right. Well, congratulations for making the wise decision today. And here's your daily round.
Well, believe it or not, she's actually not on the line right now, or I would pick it up. But Aubrey Miller listens to our show every day, religiously. And I guess she has an excuse to not today. Maybe she's doing something really fun and inappropriate. It would be awesome if she was. And she's not listening to our show, but it is Aubrey Miller's birthday as well. Now, Aubrey Miller is like my twin on the East Coast. She's a listener, but she's an inventor, and she listens to our show every morning, which I listen to our show every morning, too. And she events, and so do I. And she will actually
put
her phone...
Yeah, but you get paid for it. She doesn't get paid to listen.
I get paid to do this? Is that what that's called? Just kidding, boss.
Didn't you realize that bologna sandwich that shows up every afternoon in the mailbox, that's what that is?
Yeah, I appreciate that, although I am a vegetarian. So keep that in mind when you send me the bologna
sandwich.
Irony.
The irony.
We need to switch to cheese sandwiches.
Exactly. Exactly. So she usually listens to the show. So if she goes back and listens, happy birthday, Aubrey. You are like my sister from another mother. Usually they say brother from another mother, but she's like a sister from another mother. There you go.
Well, I have a note here, too, that, by the way, happy birthday, Aubrey. We love you. You're one of our favorite listeners because we just know when you're there, and today you're not. So she's probably home. You know what it is, I think? She probably had her birthday off. She's not working at the farm today, and she's at home listening on the Internet. That's what she's doing today. Katie Murphy just posted on our Facebook. Go ahead.
I was kind of more hoping that Aubrey had a hot date right now.
Katie Murphy posted on our Facebook page, good morning, will you two be at the Equine Affair in Massachusetts? Katie, I have an assignment for you. You need to call up the people that run the Equine Affair up there. You call the office. Just get it off the website. Call them up and say, I expect there to be horses in the morning at the Equine Fair in Massachusetts next month. You call them up and you tell them that they need to bring us in there, and we would be happy to come in there and do horses in the morning from the Equine Fair in Massachusetts because it's a great show. So, but they need some pressure. You need to give them a call. Harass them a little bit. Tell them that that's what you want, and I'm sure they'll listen.
Well, and I really want to meet Roger, Katie's significant other, because, you know, Katie is our eventer who is dating the most non-horsey guy ever, who's turning into a horsey guy. And we're watching this beautiful transformation of of former normal person turning into horse guy. And it's really fun because we've all been there, haven't you, Glenn?
Yes, we've all been there. Well, I also wanted to remind everybody about Really Bad Ads this week. It's coming up on Friday, 2 days from now at 10 o'clock. We'll be doing our regular Really Bad Ads segment. And we want you to get your ads in. You can send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line. And this week we're giving away Buck the Film. We're going to be sending you one of the copies of Buck so you can watch it at home. And I'm sure everybody wants to win that, so go ahead and send in your really bad ads today. Get the Craigslist, start looking. Jennifer, do you have any piled up, or are we in desperate need, or what's the story?
I have a reasonable number of ads. I don't have quite as many fall off your chair laughing as I did last week. So, folks, you need to get out there and do some serious surfing online. The websites that sell horses like Dream Horse, places like that. And, you know, it's a DVD of Buck the Film, so I expect to get a lot of submissions today.
Yeah, and you know what? Jamie keeps sending Jennifer emails with new submissions, and she usually comes up with funny ones because she really wants to win Buck the Film. So you're gonna have to step it up here, people. Jamie's pushing hard this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and that bologna sandwich. You know they're gonna have to mail the DVD along with the sandwich. So.
All right, we'd like to do things a little bit differently on Wednesday. We do lists, and sometimes we do surveys and things like that. Well, today, I thought it would be appropriate. I have the top 10 funny birthday quotes. So these are quotes that are about birthdays. This is for you, Jamie. I have the top 10 funny birthday quotes. And here's number 10. And this is by Bernard Burek. I don't know who that is. To me, old age is always 15 years older than I am. Isn't that true?
It is true.
Oh, my God. In 15 years, I'm going to be in my 50s.
You know what, Pete? I'm 49, almost 50, and 65 ain't looking so bad. So this quote is true. This is from Phyllis Diller, quote number 9. I'm at an age when my back goes out more than I do. And mm-hmm. You can just see Phyllis saying that. And Phyllis, have you seen her lately?
No.
Isn't she dead? Is she dead? So she's still alive.
I feel bad if she is.
I don't remember if she's dead or alive. Jennifer, look that up.
We had a kitty cat named Phyllis Diller, remember?
That's right. We did. She's dead. Number 8. Mary Schmick, who I don't know who that is. Like many women my age, I am 28 years old. Look, you can start saying that now because you're at that age where you can start saying that now. Just saying.
Also 29. I'm going to hang at the 29 for a while. It's cool.
You don't have to back it up a year yet. Quote number 7 from Irma Bombeck. A friend never defends a husband who gets his wife an electric skillet for her birthday.
No. No. If I were
Maybe
to get an electric skillet. Yeah.
You think he's trying to encourage you to cook? See, that's even accentuated and even worse when you're talking about horsewomen who don't cook. So that one even becomes worse then. What's the worst thing I ever got Jennifer for her birthday? I used to get her power tools a lot, but she wanted power tools.
Oh, my gosh. I got the worst birthday gift from a boyfriend ever. And believe it or not, we did not stay together for much longer. I was living in Kentucky. I was 19 years old, and it was my maybe 20, and my birthday gift was this huge box, and I was, oh, my God, I was so excited. And I start unwrapping it, and it was an electric leaf blower.
No.
Not even a gas-powered one. I was 20 years old, and I get a freaking leaf blower with an extension cord. Like,
did you
Are
even
you
have
kidding
your own
me?
Place?
No.
Well, you could use it in the barn. A lot of people use it in the barn. Maybe that was the good intention.
You don't go to a boarding facility and plug in a leaf blower and blow your stall? Jeez. All right, question of the day. What is the worst birthday gift you have ever gotten? I want to know.
That's a good one. I like that. Jennifer, so what's the worst one I ever got you? Go ahead.
Boy, I'm a terrible one to ask. Because
he's sitting right here.
Yeah, but her paycheck's even less than yours, so she's not worried about that.
Yeah, anyway. Probably worst one.
He only gets half a sandwich every day.
And he puts mayonnaise on it. I hate mayonnaise. Probably the worst one is, like, it was a gift certificate to some clothing store, and I don't remember which one.
Most women would like that, but horse women,
like
not.
Penny or something.
Yeah, that was early days, I think.
Yeah, that was before
she
you
got a lot
the
of tools.
Horse thing.
When we had our big farm, she loved tools. So I that was fun for me because I could buy her tools. But I had to buy her exactly what she wanted and the color she wanted. So they had to be the certain tools.
Now, so. Jennifer, was the gift certificate to Lane Bryant? Because if it was, then Glenn's in trouble.
I'm pretty sure we didn't have a Lane Bryant in the town where we lived. I'm pretty sure it was JCPenney.
Okay. Here's your gift certificate to plussizewomen.com.
Going on. From Marie Chevalier. Old age isn't so bad when you consider the alternative. Isn't that what I just told you that?
I live by that rule.
Yeah, that's right. Quote number five from John Glenn, the astronaut. There is no cure for the common birthday. And that's
Amen,
true.
Brother.
Yeah. Quote number four, John Greer. I knew a John Greer, but I don't think it was this John Greer. You are only young once, but you can be immature for a lifetime. I live by that. That is my life right there.
To the dismay of your wife, yes, she agrees that you are only young once, but you can be immature for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. All right, number three, George Burns. People ask me what I'd most appreciate getting for my 87th birthday. I tell them a paternity suit.
Did he get one?
I didn't think about that one.
Did you get one at 87? Imagine getting served with papers at 87 years old. Be like, I'm sorry, you owe child support.
He lived to, what, 103 or 104? He
yeah.
was up there.
Drinking and smoking the whole time.
Yeah, that's right. Quote number two from Cora Harvey Armstrong. I have no idea. Inside every older person, there is a younger person wondering what the hell happened.
That's me.
That's my favorite one. Inside every older person is a younger person wondering what the hell happened. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And number one from Robert Frost. A diplomat is a man who always remembers a woman's birthday but never remembers her age. Well, that's good because I don't remember how old you are. So I'm perfect. I'm a diplomat.
You know, whoever the woman was that married Robert Frost was potentially the luckiest woman on the planet. That guy has got women figured out.
He was gay.
Oh, shut up.
Hey, there were a couple. That's my birthday list of the top 10. The top 10 funniest quotes about birthdays. Happy birthday.
Okay. On our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, the question of the day, what was your worst birthday gift ever? And Fedor says, my husband bought me a coffee pot, and I didn't drink coffee. I got rid of it and him. And apparently my mother is listening to the show this morning. She said I made her sound mean. I did not. You are just a voice of reason, mother. And
way to go, Mom. You go, Mom. You told her. I'm so proud how you told her. I called her and said, you better tell her to go see Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there were a couple stories. Apparently show jumpers aren't having such a good time in England right now. On a sad note, show jumper Tim Stockdale, who's pretty famous over there, fractured his neck in two places from a fall off a young horse. Apparently, he was training a young horse, and he fell off, managed to actually was knocked out in the fall when he was taken to Shrewsbury Hospital, suffering from a concussion. Doctors later found two fractures in his neck. He's been transferred to a spinal unit. He's doing fine. He said he's stable and everything is moving. So that's good. He does have movement and feeling, but they're transferring him. He says he's a bit sore. I guess you would be if you break your neck. And then Ellen Whitaker, which is a name, Jamie, you've probably heard, and our listeners have probably heard if they follow show jumping at all. She's done very well in her young age. She's 25 years old, but she has this little problem. She tends to drink and drive, and she did it again, apparently, on September 19th in her Range Rover, but she probably wanted a competition. And she was stopped around 2 a.m., and she was two times over the legal limit. This was the second time that she had been stopped for drunken driving, so she is now going to lose her license for 18 months. Long time.
The quote from her, I don't know if it's her attorney or her spokesperson, they said that the reason she was so drunk was because she'd been at a charity function and she didn't get to eat. Okay, it doesn't matter how much you had to eat. If you are twice over the legal limit, you drank too much.
And she also goes, she also goes on to say she had no idea she was over the legal limit when she got into the car. You're twice over the legal limit. You have some idea. You have a little bit of an inkling.
Now, wait a minute.
You barely find your car.
When you're twice, exactly, when you're twice the legal limit, you don't know nothing.
Well, it does say, having driven less than a mile, Ellen realized she might be over the legal limit and turned around to return to her friend's house. It was on the way back that the police stopped her, probably because she was on the other side of the road, driving down the middle or something, you know? But anyway, poor Ellen lost her license. And she said she never condones drunk driving. Isn't that what everybody that gets caught says?
Yeah, we would never condone it. We just do it. Okay, enough making fun of her. I'm glad nobody got hurt and all that blah, blah, blah. But you know what? At 25 years old, it's probably good. She lost her license for 18 months, and she will think twice. Maybe she's learned a lesson. I do want to say that things are getting pretty hot and heated here in Arizona, and I'm not talking about the fact that it was 100 freaking degrees yesterday. How about this? Gila Bend. It's a little small town in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, you've got Scottsdale, you've got Gila Bend, you've got Mesa, you've got Phoenix, you've got all these little towns kind of right in the same area. Well, Gila Bend is trying to get Prince Harry to come and visit. They're going to have a polo event, and Scottsdale is kind of, if you haven't been to Arizona, Scottsdale is in northern Arizona, and it is kind of the Hollywood of Phoenix, if that gives you any picture. Now, granted, most of them are, we call them $30,000 a year millionaires, where they drive around these fancy cars and they dress really well, but they probably have maxed out their credit cards. And it's supposed to, anyway, Scottsdale is supposed to be a fantastically fancy place. Well, they're going to have a polo event in Gila Bend, and they've invited Prince Harry because apparently, and I didn't know this, he's spending time between California and Arizona training to fly the Apache helicopters with the Royal Air Force. So we have not seen any sightings of Prince Harry at Luke Air Force Base. Otherwise, I would have to go and, you know, fawn all over him.
Hang out,
Prince.
Yeah.
But they've invited him, and they have confirmed that they did get the invitation. His people, his royal people, have confirmed that they got the invitation. They have not confirmed that Harry will be there, but I might just have to go to thepoloparty.com and get a ticket. Because, I mean, come on, that's awesome.
Well, I wanted to apologize formally to Robert Dunn because he called me out yesterday or the day before because I announced I did. See, this is what happens when horse husbands try and talk about dressage. It just goes wrong. And I said that the United States team won the Pan American Games, which they did. And then I started talking about individual medals, which didn't even happen yet because they ride a second time for the individual medals, which I kind of knew but totally forgot. So I apologize, Robert. I messed it up. But right now, the current standings in the individual competition for dressage are that the U.S. is in the top three spots. It's exactly what I announced the other day, by the way. They haven't changed. It's Stephen Peters in the top spot so far, Heather Blitz, and then Marissa Featherling. So right now they're standing 1, 2, 3, and we should know, I think later today, we'll know the results of the individual dressage at the Pan American Games. And I apologize, Robert. I promise to never talk about dressage again. And I'll be on.
I don't think you have to do that. Just get the facts straight, because Robert Dunn will come through the phone and grab you around the neck like my mama did. Hey, before we get to our first guest, Glenn, I just have to tell you about the best thing I have ever purchased ever in my entire life. I made the smartest, most awesome purchase, one that has created peace on earth here at Flyover Farm. It used to be loud. I would lose my voice during the day. It was just tense here all the time. And now things have calmed down. Why, you ask? Because I bought a shock collar for Boomer. This has been the greatest purchase ever. So, for those of you who don't know, I have a herding dog. I have a couple. And this herding dog is 9 months old. almost 10 months old. And his name is Boomer, and he's insane. Boomer likes to get in the pasture with the horses, and he likes to chase one particular horse, my 20-something-year-old one-eyed quarter horse. He loves to go and try to herd this quarter horse to the point where he will grab him by the tail and swing like a pendulum. He barks. He goes crazy. The horses come by the fence, and he jumps on the fence. He's like, wah, 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 wah. I would like to point out that I put on this collar, and it's not just a shock collar. It has a beep, and then it's got a vibration, and then it's got a shock. Well, Boomer tends to bark all the time. So I put the collar on him, and when he started barking, I would hit the button that would make it beep, and he would just look around. Stop. Look around. Where's that? What was that? What was that? And then he would bark again, and then it would go beep, 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 and he would stop barking and look around. And then he would bark again. Beep, 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 beep. Stop barking, look around. Brilliant. No barking yesterday. 3 times. He gets out, and he goes to chase one of the horses. And the horses are in their stall, and he likes to, like, bark at them and, like, try to herd them when they're eating their hay. And I put on the vibration. And he would run over to them when they were eating their hay, and the collar would vibrate, and he would stop. And then he would run back to me. Peace on earth. Then the horses were turned out last night, which is usually the time where Boomer goes running like crazy, and I go, Boomer! Get back over here! And I scream, and I lose my voice, and it just makes the whole place, you know, when you're doing the, like, death voice to get your puppy to stop doing something, you know, it's kind of painful, and it's disturbing to the neighborhood. I let him out. I let the horses out. Boomer saw poor Will and went running after him. I turned it to shock. I hit it 1 time. Boomer came running back over to me and sat down.
Woohoo! You know, the anti-shock collar people are going to come out now and you're going to get flamed.
I don't care. If you're so anti-shock collar, get your butt over here and train this dog that runs 50 miles an hour after horses. I can't help it. I can't chase him. I've tried. I've put him on a leash. I have done everything. We have taught him voice commands. When he is 5 feet from you, he will do anything you say. However, I put this puppy on him, and I just hit that button, and he's like, oh, and he comes running right back over and sits down. And I will tell you that yesterday was the best day I have ever had on this farm. I was so peaceful.
Well, you know, I got to admit, too, that when you're the neighbor of a place where the dog won't shut up, there is nothing more annoying than that. There is just, we've had that situation in places we've lived, and you really do. You know, they talk about poisoning the neighbor's dog. There are times, especially if it's in the middle of the night, when you just want to go over there and do it yourself. I can appreciate, I'm proud of you. I don't care what those anti-shock collar people say. sometimes for your own sanity, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, this shock collar has not only created peace on earth here at Flyover Farms within the horses, it has created peace within a marriage. I'm like, you're the one who decided to get 2 freaking herding dogs. This is your idea. You're the one who decided, oh, I can't decide on 1 puppy. Let's get 2. And then the one, my puppy, is very well behaved. And his puppy is a terror and chases the horses and just goes crazy. And now, last night, we had a nice, quiet, calm dinner sitting outside in 90-degree weather and eating from our plate. And it was so quiet and lovely and zen. And we actually could talk instead of yell at the dog.
And all of that can be found at Flyover Farm. And how will you know when you're at Flyover Farm? Because they have a sign from EasySignsOnline.com. How about that transition? That's pretty good. And you can browse the EasySignsOnline.com, their unique website, to see the many custom sign options and styles that they have. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and to see all the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall name plates, and farm entrance signs, they also have business signs, school signs, church signs, and they offer a complete line now of indoor signs. Great for use in offices, churches, schools, and your tack room. With sizes from 6 inches, 6 by 6, and up to 4 foot by 8 foot, and any size in between. They have your indoor sign needs covered. Check out the website for details at EasySignsOnline.com. That's easy, signsonline.com. They ship to every state in the U.S., so take advantage of their current free shipping promotion today. And also, go over to their Facebook page at easysignsonline.com. Look that up, and you'll see pictures. People are posting pictures of the signs they did, and a lot of them are farms. So there's some really cool farm signs over on their Facebook page. Well, we have our first guest on the line. He is from Fred's to the Rescue, and they do blanket cleaning. We thought it was that time of year when people are starting to dig out their blankets and going, ew, I should have got this cleaned at the beginning of the summer, and I didn't because I never do because we procrastinate about everything. And that's absolutely true because we did the same thing. And I wanted to ask him some questions about blanket cleaning because a lot of people are confused about why doesn't they – you can just tune out for this, Jamie. You don't even use blankets out there. but those of us in the East, it's 40 degrees today and raining. We use blankets. So we have Chris on the line, and he is out of Frankfort, Kentucky. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Morning.
Great. Hey, your shock collar conversation is just so true, is it?
And when you're that neighbor, you wish that they'd get something.
You would think they'd have a way of hooking up a shock collar to keep horses from tearing up their blankets on fence posts, too, huh?
Yeah, when you figure that one out, Chris, let us know.
That's a moneymaker.
Chris, all right, I got a first question. If the name of the business is Fred's to the Rescue, where's Fred?
I'm Fred, and my father's Fred, but I go by my middle name so there's no confusion. So there's actually two Freds.
You confused me already.
There's two Freds.
All right, gotcha. All right, so Fred, so we have Fred Chris on the phone here right now.
Frederick Christian, yes.
Well, Chris, you guys do blanket repair, you do cleaning and all that stuff. I have some questions for you here.
Sure.
And I think there's some common questions that people just don't know the answers to.
Right.
So I thought we'd cover them here today and see if we could solve the mystery. First of all, is how often should I have my blanket cleaned? First, it gets dirty, obviously, you know, by the time they wear it once. But how often should I have it cleaned?
Well, you know, the best comment on that is you people can't pull their blanket off and clean it every time. I mean, ideally, if you want to keep diseases and nasties from forming on the back of that horse, you want to clean it as often as you can. But if you can't do that, I'd say probably once before the season starts and once right before the season ends. So you don't have that blanket soaking in all that filth and sweat and forming mildew. So when it comes time, like right now, you don't open up the blanket and you've just got all these creepy crawlies and mildew and what have you that's been feeding on the blanket and destroying it, and then all of a sudden you got to go to the store and buy a new one. So at
guilty.
Least, yeah.
And it was in a big pile of other dirty blankets all summer long, too.
Oh, of course. And then usually the cat decides that wants to bed down with it or something like that. Yeah.
Guilty.
Pee on it. Mm-hmm.
Guilty. All right. So for those of us who did do that thing we weren't supposed to do and left it in the big pile with the cat sleeping on it all summer, should we take it and get it clean now before we really get cold here?
I there are so many procrastinators that actually I've got one coming through the door right now. There are so many different procrastinators that wait until they're desperate for it to get it clean that, you know, this is the time to do it. Get it clean now so that when you're desperate for it and you absolutely need it, it's ready to go.
Well, you know, the same problem happens with my lawnmower, Chris, because right now is the time of year I'm going to mow one more time. And then I'm going to go, I really should bring that over the winter to get its annual service. And then in May, I'm going to get it out and go, damn it, I didn't do that yet. And I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to have to wait 3 weeks with everybody else who didn't bring it in. And so the same thing happens there. So now tell us, are there different types of cleaning for the different types of blankets? What do you do to clean it? Do you just take it out the back of the fence in the hose and you wash it off?
No. Oh, okay. We have commercial equipment that's designed for cleaning these things. 365-pound washers that are computer-controlled. We have the same thing in dryers, computer-controlled for temperatures. These things have huge waste gates to take care of the dirt and the poo and the hair. The hair alone, we fill 55-gallon drums full of hair once a week. There's just
Picky
so much
hair.
Debris.
Oh,
so,
wow.
No, the washers are specifically designed for doing this type of work. And it really is not one of those things you want to do at home. If Lowe's loves you and you want to get a new washer and dryer, then go ahead and do it at home. But, yeah, you've got to, one, make sure you use a big enough machine to be able to get it clean. But, two, the temperature is critical. If you go and you try to wash these things on your own, and you're gonna end up destroying your washer, and then of course there's a new washer. I guess if that's what you need is a new washer, then all means go for it.
I'm going for it.
We do need a new washer. So Chris, what's the weirdest thing you've ever found that little lint trap of yours? Mike?
I would have to say we found rotted mice, birds. The variety of different animals, and then of course the scary spiders. Oh, you wouldn't believe how many scary spiders come out and jump up. They literally jump up out of the cart and back onto you. So we usually get the occasional scream in the back room, and we go, "Oh, what goody came out this time?"
Oh, that's great. All right, sorry.
What's awesome about that is that, you know, there's a woman that has gone into her tack shed, reached down to that big pile, wrapped her arms around it, then took it to her car, put it in her car. Just imagine how many spiders, A, got on her, and B, are still in her car.
Oh, and it does amaze me, because you'll see someone pull up in a very nice luxury car, and they pull these horribly filthy things out, and I'm like, you just got done carrying that in your car, and all I can think of is going down the highway and having one of those little critters make its way from the back up to the front seat and say, hello. Oh, it's awful. No, though, I think the worst one we did have was a partially decayed rat. My poor new employee, she didn't know it was in the blanket, and she unfolded it, and it kind of, I don't know how it did it, but it sort of launched it out of the blanket and landed on her shoulder. It's just, you could tell she's permanently scarred.
Okay, about 1,000 people just spit breakfast out all over the table right now.
While we're on that, I mean, we could talk about all the nasties that are in blankets.
We can keep going now. Because they're going to gross me out with worms here a little bit later.
Oh, my.
So now let me ask you, why doesn't blankets lose their waterproofing? How does the waterproofing stay on when you wash the blanket? I always wondered that.
Well, and here's the thing. Most waterproofing is a spray-on type of rubber or plastic-type material that they put on the backside of the outer shell. And so it holds up pretty well, but with time, kind of like, you know, when you left your bicycle in the shed for too long and the tires start to dry rot, it's the same principle. With age, it starts to crack because it's a very thin film. Now, some blankets, you've got some very expensive ones that actually have their own moisture barrier in there, and they hold up better. But probably the two biggest causes for making things go non-waterproof is washing it incorrectly, which means you could use a corrosive soap, or in some cases, if you go to some coin laundries or dry cleaners that's not used to doing it, they'll wash it on too high of a heat. And that high heat literally melts the material off the backside of that blanket, and it's no longer waterproof. Worst case scenario, you take a nice Rambo blanket that's got its own moisture barrier in there, and they take it to a dry cleaner, and they put it on 180 degrees. And when they bring it to me and say, well, what's wrong with it? It feels like this giant rubber band in there where it's all shrunken together and stuck together. So washing it incorrectly is your biggest enemy for destroying your waterproofing. But secondly, putting it up dirty. If you take all that sweat and all that nastiness and you fold it up, throw it in the stable somewhere, and you wait 4 or 5 months, and then you pull it back out, those little microorganisms have had a time to be able to get in there and feed on the glue and all the different things that lay up between that shell and that moisture barrier. And the minute you put it on, it flakes off. So just good maintenance and proper maintenance is the way to keep that stain waterproof.
Now, if you have a tear in your blanket and you get it repaired, or let's say somebody brings it to you and get it repaired,
right,
and try to do it themselves, is it ever waterproof at that tear spot again?
You know, probably not. And the only solution that we can come up with is we've got to sew through the layers to be able to repair that tear. Normally, when we bring it in, everything gets cleaned anyway. So now you have a nice clean base blanket to work with. You make the patch. And then I recommended some topical waterproofing to go over the top. Now, you've got a whole variety of spray-on products you can go with. There are wash-in products. I'm not fond of them because in my past I haven't seen good success with them. Secondly, they gum up your washer. You know, so you really... I discourage folks using anything like that unless you've got some giant tub to soak it in. But really the topical ones that you spray on do the best job. We don't waterproof here because the fumes are just something else. We have to clear the factory out just to do something like that. So I always recommend after you've had a good washing and you want to make sure it's waterproof, go buy a topical waterproofing. Lay it up on the fence, spray it on that area that you're worried about, and let it dry out, and you'll get a couple weeks of good waterproofing, but it will eventually wear back off.
Okay. Well, your place sounds like a great place to work. You got rotting dead rats. We have waterproofing stuff that'll make you pass out in about 2 seconds.
they keep saying we should have dirty jobs here, and I'm like, I don't think it's dirty enough, but, you know, it's... You try to keep that under control. You know, you do the best you can.
So now you're here in you know, thoroughbred country, racehorse
right.
country. Have you ever had any like really famous blankets come in? Has Zenyatta's blanket shown up yet?
Oh, I will tell you, my favorite part of this job is that I get to access deep parts of some of these very exclusive farms that you know not many folks go into. And we've had at some point and still do some 350 farms of blankets that we go on site and pick them up and then bring them back here and clean them up. One time I can't tell you the farm because I don't want to, you know, give away their assets because, you know, these are expensive horses. But we went on one farm and I went through 4 security gates to go into this one part of the interior. And in that barn, there were 4 Derby winners in there. And I was just shocked, and the most famous Derby winners too. And so we went in there and got to see the horses and clean their blankets. But yeah, we do it all the time.
Hey, that's how you could sneak in to see Zenyatta, Jamie. Just get a job at the Dirty Blanket Company.
That is no kidding.
Do you guys have badges that I could wear, or is there any sort of identification that I would need?
You know, I don't have that, but now that you've thought of that, that may not be a bad idea. You know, we can have like our own little FBI type of thing, except, you know, we have to come up with some horse-related agency that might
have
work.
Have a badge be blanket shaped, you know, dirty blanket inspector.
I would say, my name is Jamie, I'm from Fred's to the Rescue, I'm here to pick up Zenyatta's blanket.
That's right.
Well, now tell me, though, one last question for you, and then we'll let you go. What if for those people who want to attempt to break their washers, intent, what do you wash your blanket with?
You know, it took us 15 years to come up with a formula that does the job. A common soap you buy off the shelf doesn't have, pardon the term, enough horsepower to get the dirt and the poo and everything else that these blankets get into. So really, you know, you need to take it to a professional and have it done. Your common washer just can't handle the soil and the straw and the hair, bar none, because the drain pipe's only 3/4 inches in diameter and it will plug up very easily. But the soap, you'll go through all that trouble, and then you're going to get the blanket out, and it's still going to be nasty. So the soap that we've got, we had to go outside of normal industry standards to find solutions and get a chemist to make us something that will do the job. And so after 15 years of practice, we've gotten it down to where ask any of our customers, they'll bring them in here and they say it's the nastiest thing they've ever seen, it'll never come clean, and they look almost new. So I encourage anybody to give it a try, and the results will speak for themselves.
Chris, I just remember when I lived in Ohio, and it was, you know, muddy blankets all winter long, and then every spring we would go to the local laundromat, and we would have to sneak the blankets into the laundromat because they knew we were coming in. They were like, get out!
Yeah.
You can't, don't bring that crap in here. honestly, Chris, I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm nowhere close to Frankfort, Kentucky. What do I look for? You know, how do I find a place to do what you do around me?
But they're few and far between. It's a rough market to try to get into unless you've got the number of farms like we have here in central Kentucky. So, you know, there's not going to be a good solution, although I must say we do offer UPS and FedEx shipping and delivery in that fashion. So if you've got blankets that you're desperate to get done, you could ship it to our facility, and we will wash it, and we will ship it back. And it's really not that expensive to do some shipping, especially if you know if you're going to do like a once in the season and once in the end of the season type of cleaning. It may be the option to look at. If you go to our website at horseblanketcleaners.com, you'll find all the information you need, and feel free to contact us and figure out a way to get it to us, because we could certainly help out. And as the industry standards go, we're fairly inexpensive. I mean, I would say California and the East Coast are double the price of what we are for cleaning blankets.
Okay, so when to I clean a blanket, what do you think it goes for? Just a regular old cleaning.
Our flat cleaning, that we have a flat price for all blankets, $11.
No kidding. Well, that's worth it.
Sure.
Well, now, I did want to say, too, that you can probably, one of the good places to check is your local tack shop. Sometimes they have relationships with blanket cleaners, so that'd be a good place to start if you're in a spot that that you can't find one right away. Well, this has been great. Your website is Fred2TheRescue.com.
Glenn, the website is HorseBlanketCleaners.com.
Oh, well, that's even better.
the other one is for a similar relationship that we have. We work with Fireman's Gear, where we clean and repair Fireman's Gear.
Oh.
And that's what's on the Fred's to the Rescue website.
Okay.
But if you want to work on the horse things, go to horseblanketcleaners.com.
All right, cool. We'll definitely post that on our Facebook page, too, so that people can get there. We appreciate you being on. This has been very educational, and I'm going to try and get that whole dead rat on the shoulder thing off my mind.
Glenn and Jamie, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate
Thanks,
you having
Chris.
Me on.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, before we go to our song today, we have a quick caller here who I think wants to wish somebody a happy birthday. And caller, are you there?
We wish you a happy birthday. We wish you a happy birthday. We wish you a happy birthday and lots of good beer.
You know those English chicks are all a little backwards. I think that's the Merry Christmas song, but I'll take it.
It was specially composed for you, Jamie.
Well, that's awful sweet. Hi, Chris, from the Eventing Jumping radio show and all a million radio shows that you do. Thank you so much for calling in and wishing me a happy birthday.
You are welcome. I hope it's all that you wanted it to be, my friend.
Well, it's only 6:52 a.m. here, so I've got a whole day ahead of me.
Her hubby did tell her to take the day off, though, that he has something planned. So I'm sure we'll hear. Well, maybe we won't hear about that tomorrow either.
I heard that you had your favorite event rider on, so I thought maybe you'd like your favorite event radio host on.
He never called. We did. We had something planned for you, Jamie, and we didn't get a hold of him. He was busy this morning.
Well, could I be a substitute? Because he's also a co-host on the show.
Oh, my God. Boyd Martin was going to call.
Give us the best Aussie accent you can do.
I'll give you a real Aussie accent. No, that'll really spoil it. Your moment is past. Jamie, have a wonderful day.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Thanks for calling in. And, oh, my God, you were trying to get Boyd Martin on the show?
Yes. We actually talked to him, and we were supposed to get a hold of him in the first half hour today, but I think he got busy. You know, he's kind of a busy guy. So he was willing to talk to you and wish you a happy birthday, though. So,
well, it's a belated thought that counts.
Yes, and it's in absentia happy birthday from Boyd Martin.
Okay, thank you. Thanks,
Boyd. I'll tell you what, instead of having Boyd on the show, why don't I just let you pick your favorite song? Which one do you want me to play today?
Okay, I get to pick the song today. For those who don't know, Glenn picks the song every single day. And
I don't let Jamie.
Songs that we have difference in opinion about, so to put it mildly. So I would like to hear the song that was written about me, or, well, it wasn't written about me. It was written about the person that I wish I was, and this is JaredRogerson.com because he's adorable, and the song is called Peace, Love, and Horses. Play that one.
Rogerson, Jamie's favorite, Peace, Love, and Horses. You can find him at JaredRogerson.com. And now, Jamie's other favorite song. So it sticks in your head the entire day.
There was
oh
no
my God.
What was he doing? The stick number 703. Not too bad.
Gotta wait for the chorus. I can't stop it for the chorus.
For someone
I was hoping for
the
girls and horses.
Destiny smiled on that sweet, dry daughter. She grew up and became
a long time,
man.
I heard this a lot.
Everybody watched when she spread her wings.
We're all going to have to sing it together.
The queen of the sport of kings. Zenyatta, arrived. You feel the crowd swell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you hear the crowd yell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, yes, everyone says. We love you, Zenyatta, and good luck today.
Okay, stop. Turn off.
That's enough of that.
I'm done. That was just enough for the rest of the day to hear Zenyatta, Zenyatta in my head.
I know.
And we're all about peace, love, horses, and me. We're going to have to finish out the day with Girls and Horses because that's my other favorite horsey song.
All right, simple to do that. Hey, you know, we're going to be talking about worms with the horse here shortly. But before we get to that unpleasant subject, let's talk about another unpleasant subject, apparently, is people's birthdays. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
We posted on, this is not quite what we had in mind, I don't think. We posted on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page, Jamie's question of the day, what was your worst birthday gift ever? And I think we were thinking about, you know, a Snuggie, you know, a onesie, a lingerie, you know, I think we were thinking about funny things, you know, a chia pet, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of what we were thinking. And, oh, my God, the responses we got are not what I expected.
I love it.
We've had some pretty crappy birthdays.
I agree. And I do want to say, Carrie Hurley, I totally get it because Chad, my husband's birthday is beginning of January. And everybody always goes, oh, here's your birthday and Christmas present. And so if you know somebody that's birthday is either on or near Christmas, you still have to give them two gifts. If it's family especially, you can't say it's a birthmas present, okay? It just doesn't work like that. Your right shoe, like Carrie said, the right shoe is for your birthday and the left shoe is for Christmas. It doesn't work like that. But I would like to say that the one where Cindy got chicken pox for her birthday, awesome.
no, gave them to her.
Becky broke her tooth. On her 21st birthday, at least you got some good drugs for that one. Then there's some just really sad ones, too. But, man, amazing.
Carrie got food poisoning. We have deaths. Justin Harrison, this is so true. She brings up another good point. She's a regular listener from out in Colorado. She said puzzles. Year after year, my family who didn't know what to get for a horse addict, they would buy me puzzles. Why? Because they had pictures of horses on them. Isn't that so true that people don't know what to get the horse people? So anything that has a horse on it, no matter how ridiculous, is fair game. Isn't that true?
You're exactly right, because I will get things like, you know, the license plate for your front of the car. And as an eventer, you know, you want to represent, but then they give you one of an image of a saddlebred.
That's right.
It has a horse on it. You know, you got like, you know, somebody with a cutting horse that's like chasing a cow and they give that to you, or a teacher. I mean, granted, the thought is there, but sometimes a little bit of research might be a good idea.
Well, we have Christy from the Horse on the Line. Remember last week she was out because she was at the airport and we had her boss on. I guess she didn't get fired before this week because she's still here. So hi, Christy.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, so what's the worst birthday gift you ever got?
You know, I don't have a particular worst birthday gift in mind. I did have probably a worst Christmas present.
Okay.
Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Okay. All right, so this is a good thing that my dad's not going to be listening to this show. But so I've just been out for my first semester of college. I'm home. It's Christmas morning, you know, my mom, dad, brother, cousins, everybody's around or whatever, and we're out in the den starting to open presents, and dad says, well, your next present is outside. It's like, oh, it must be a car, you know, because I've been out of school without a car. This is going to be really awesome, right? So I open the curtains in front of the big sliding glass window, and there is my car, and it is a black, I forget the year, LTD Ford station wagon, woody sides, red interior, a couple of dents, nothing major.
He bought you a Woody?
He bought me a Woody, yeah.
You're like, Dad,
and you know what?
I don't
it was
need
the
a
most, It was the most mechanically sound car ever until it got T-boned. You know, I can't knock it. It did
That's
great.
That's because it was three blocks long.
I know.
No wonder you got T-boned.
My cousins still talk about it. They're like, we just felt so bad for you.
Okay. Most dads do not want their daughters to either have a van or a station wagon for obvious reasons. Your dad
no.
completely against that.
Well, no, I mean, Dad's an engineer. It was a mechanically sound vehicle, and it was cheap. You know, it was all good. But, you know, you're not entirely correct about that, because my next-door neighbor right now, his daughters have a Woodside Wagoneer.
Okay, Christy, none of that's fair. Did it
just
put the mattress in the back?
I was going to say, Christy, when you got that car, were you tempted to take it up to the lake and try it out on the water?
See if it would swim. Yeah,
like a boat.
Yeah, it was kind of a boat. You know, have you seen that Top Gear episode where they have to try and convert cars into boats and sail the English Channel? It could have been.
Yeah.
You had one.
You know?
Well, thank you so much for being on with us. I'm sorry about your car, but at least it saved your life when it got T-boned. But we do have your guest on the line, and why don't you go
ahead
before we
introduce the guest.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Do you know what you've done to me now, Glenn? Every single time you say, wait, hold on, there's somebody on the phone, or you say, wait, hold on, I think Boyd Martin's calling. Which you wouldn't have told me, Chris. Boyd had bigger people to call and wish happy birthday to, apparently.
awesome.
So, Christy, why don't you go ahead and introduce Dr. Nielsen?
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Martin Nielsen today. He's a researcher with the University of Kentucky's Gluck Equine Research Center. And we wanted to talk to him today. We've actually talked to him once before. We talked to him about parasites about a year ago or something like that. Maybe, well, not quite that far, obviously. But we wanted to talk to him today because he just has had a recent study published in the Equine Veterinary Journal about parasites in standardbreds, and the results may surprise you a little bit. But first, let's start out by talking a little bit about the zero-tolerance approach that most of us like to take to parasite control in horses. We don't want any worms in our horses because they're gross, right, Glenn?
That's right. Can I ask a question of Dr. Nielsen first?
Sure.
Were you like a little kid going to junior high school, and when everybody asked you what you wanted to be when you grow up, you said a worm doctor? Was that your aspiration?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, no, it wasn't.
I'm glad to hear it, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't really aware of that whole fascinating world at that time. It was something that came to me later in vet school, but I didn't really walk around
because
thinking about worms.
I guarantee you would have gotten the chicks with that line. They would have been lining up.
It's not always about the content of that line. It's also about the delivery of it. You know, you can get away with a lot of interesting comments if you just do it with charm. So yeah.
So what he's saying is he does all right, Glenn. He does all right.
I have no complaints.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. And he's very passionate about worms, and we're going to have fun making you squirm today, Glenn, by the way.
All right, I'm out.
No, Sam, you're not leaving. So, Martin, we talked a little bit before the show about the zero-tolerance approach and why this doesn't work anymore. Can you tell us a little bit about that background?
Yeah, I mean, we've reached a stage where, I mean, the first thing is actually to think about is why zero tolerance, basically. Why do we want to get rid of the worms? And I think the main reason for that is just because worms are gross. I think Glenn would agree with me on that. You know, think of macaroni and cheese just without the macaroni, and then you have the roundworms that we tend to find a lot in the falls. And you know, nobody likes that sight when you deworm the horse and you see the worms passing out the feces. They look pretty disgusting. And none of us like the thought about any living or animal housing worms inside them. And we do know that they do cause disease in some situations, but not always, because all the horses have the parasites, but we don't see every single horse out there on the pasture actually developing any signs of disease. So, I mean, that's the history behind this, and we know that the history is that zero tolerance has been attempted for decades. I mean, since the 1960s, where we first saw the good modern type very broad spectrum dewormers. That has been really tried a lot. I mean, treating every month, year round, that is chemical warfare. And you know, the bottom line is that we now 40 years later, or basically almost 50 years later, after years of years of years of very intensive treatments with various dewormers, we basically have all the same parasites. They're still all there. There's going to be a little bit of difference in the actual prevalence of some of the parasites. But, you know, in the broader picture, they're all there. And the only main difference that we have accomplished is resistance to the drugs. And that's a major problem, because we don't have that many different drugs to choose between. So, yeah, that's why that zero tolerance is really not the right approach. And it has never been, but we have to learn from the history.
Sure, and we wanted to point out as well that this is really not that different from antibiotic-resistant bacteria such as MRSA. You know, we tried to use antibiotics, you know, pretty widely, and due to sometimes overuse and sometimes misuse of antibiotics, now we have resistant bacteria that very few things will kill. It's the same, really the same principle is what we're talking about.
Totally, totally the same. And the bacteria example is always very good to mention, because many people have heard about that. I heard about resistance and antibiotics and bacteria that are these super bugs that nothing can kill. And most people would understand that that's really not something we want in the parasites either. We would want to have at least one drug that is still working if we should run into any situation where the horse that we have gets sick from parasites. That would be the horrible scenario if we didn't have any good treatments left.
Right. And one thing, so we've got some background here. And I mentioned Martin's study earlier with some kind of surprising results on parasite prevalence. But it kind of, everything we're talking about kind of leads you into, okay, we can't get rid of the worms completely. Fine, we might like to, but we can't. But there's an interesting extension of that based on his study. Are they possibly actually good for something? And there's actually a good human example of that. And Glenn, you're going to love this one. Martin, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, in recent years, especially in the
human
medicine...
Shut it.
Yeah. Especially in human medicine, there's been this modern research hypothesis developed, which is called the hygiene hypothesis. You may have heard about this. So the whole idea behind this is that people like us in the Western world, in the developed countries, we live in a pretty clean environment. So we're not really exposed to a lot of different agents, which could be bacteria, it could be just dirt and fungus and parasites. And we're not exposed to those nearly to the same extent that people would be in any developing country. And so what is striking is that we here in this part of the world, we suffer from high and ever-increasing levels of allergic disease of various kinds and autoimmune disease. And so some researchers have tried to link those two observations together, and they've proposed a theory that the reason why we have all these problems with allergies is that we don't have this stimulus from a good, sound, and healthy parasite burden in early childhood. And, you know, it sounds a little far out, but, you know, it has actually been tested on certain conditions in people where they actually went in and used worms as a treatment. And the best example, which is now published and it basically being now tested for a human drug, both in the U.S. and Europe, is the disease called Crohn's disease in people, which is a chronic inflammatory bowel syndrome. Many of you might have heard of someone who suffers from this. It's a disease. It's a condition which is really just chronic. There's no good treatments for it. You might alleviate some of the symptoms, but basically it's a condition you have to live with. And until a Swiss scientist came up with the idea of just having those patients swallow pig whipworm eggs, just, you know, 2,500 eggs, parasite eggs, suspended in a glass of water, and then you just, you know, drink it. And do it, as I recall it, a couple of times a week for a number of weeks. And they didn't have any problems finding volunteers with Crohn's disease just try it out. I mean, I think most Crohn's disease patients would say, well, you know, I've lived with this condition for years. I'm ready to try even something like that that sounds really, really far out. And the results have been striking. I mean, for some patients, it at least reduced some of the symptoms, or so they got a better, improved their condition overall. And even in other patients, there was a total removal of the symptoms. Initially, the patient might have to live with a transient diarrhea coming from the parasites, but you know, if you have Crohn's, you take it and then you get over it. And it's a striking finding that, you know, this parasite exposure seems to have triggered a healing process in the intestine of these patients. So
I, you know what, I gotta say, I am absolutely starving. I'm gonna go get some breakfast. I'll be right back.
Have a glass of water with it, so then you'll be fine.
Have some eggs with that.
And you know, this has been also been tested on other conditions which are known to be either allergic or autoimmune, and there's some promising findings there. So, you know, we don't know in the horses whether this is at all something that translates to the horse, but at least we've now described a few studies here in my new job here in the U.S. I don't know if you recall, but last time we talked, I was actually in Copenhagen in my previous job, but I've now moved here, and I'm in the U.S. since a few months ago, and we're just trying to set up some studies looking into this very interesting phenomenon. So that's the story.
Absolutely. And so moving on, because we're running a little bit short on time, this is all some really interesting concepts. And tell us about your latest study briefly and how it kind of reinforces some of these concepts.
Yeah, you know, we always tend to run short of time when I'm talking. I don't know what's going
it's
on.
Not
but
just
that's
you.
That's a tendency I have when sometimes I warn people, I tell them, just don't get me started talking about worms, because I can talk for days. But yeah, briefly, we wanted to understand the role of parasites in a population of racing horses, just because a racing horse is a type of horse where you can go in and measure their performance during the race. And then you could relate that to the parasite findings that we have in the same horses. And you know, interestingly enough, that has never really been done before in any published study, at least. So we had the hypothesis that we would find the winning horses should have fewer worms, in our opinion, if the worms did anything bad to the horses. And then, you know, the horses finishing in lower positions outside the money, they would maybe have the higher worm burdens. So we measured egg counts in standard bred trotters, and you know, the basic finding was that the winning horses had more egg counts, had higher egg counts. I'm not saying that worms make horses run faster, but at least I'm saying that the worms in this study did not do anything negative to those winning horses. Again, a striking finding, and this suggests that at least in moderate sizes, a worm burden is not necessarily bad to a high-performing horse. Just something to think about.
Absolutely, and it's important, too. We talked a little bit about some of the considerations of the study. It doesn't necessarily mean you should stop worrying about worms in your horses, because their horses can still run fast with worms. But these are pretty well-managed horses. So.
Yeah. Well, at least, I mean, if you manage the horses and manage the worm burdens, then a moderate size egg count doesn't necessarily mean anything negative to that horse. That we can definitely say from that study.
Right. And we're going to be talking about this a little bit more next week on the 25th. We've got a webinar with Martin, along with a couple of other vets to help answer questions. Again, that's on the 25th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you want to check that out, you can sign up at thehorse.com/webinars. But we'll go into some of these topics in the study and a little bit, few more things in a lot more detail.
And we have a little bit more time to talk there, which I like. So.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you think, yeah. Glenn? Was the delivery okay? I mean, I know it's not a topic you like, but I think he's got a pretty good delivery. I think he's right.
I'm still la-la-ing over here.
Well, thank you for doing it quietly.
In my stomach. I have a bad stomach anyway. Now, you guys, every Wednesday morning, this is Jennifer typed as she was listening. Yep, highest yuck factor yet. I think you've beaten every other week so far, Christy.
We even beat sheath cleaning?
I think this one did it.
Awesome. Well, I'm sorry you don't feel good. Maybe you need some whipworm eggs.
Yeah,
Some about worms just makes your day.
Well, we've also got a short video interview that we did with Martin just on his study. It's up on thehorse.com right now as well, if you'd like to check it out.
Complete with images, I'm sure.
Actually, pretty minimal. We try to be kind of nice.
You can look at me, but that's not that gross.
From what I hear, it's got to be good because, I mean, I hear you're doing pretty well with the ladies, so.
Thanks,
you guys. Thank you so much for being on, Dr. Nielsen. And
you're welcome.
Christy, we'll talk to you next week. Dr. Nielsen, we'll talk to you again. Thank you for sharing your passion for worms.
Not a problem.
You don't find too many people more passionate about worms.
Somebody's got to do it. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, there's a breaking story out of Zanesville, Ohio, and we went right by Zanesville when we went to Pennsylvania here last week. I don't know if you saw that one this morning. It's not a good story. It's kind of a tragic story there, but I know we have listeners in Ohio, and I know we have listeners in that part of Ohio who are probably busy hiding in their houses this morning. There was a this guy who apparently had all kinds of exotic wild animals, from bears to lions to wolves, and he was found dead, killed outside his house, and every cage was left open. Somebody opened
what?
All the cages and left the animals. They have the entire county under quarantine. Everybody's to stay in their houses. And unfortunately, the sheriffs have had to go just when they find the animals, they're shooting them. So far, they've killed at least 25 animals, and they're still missing bears and lions, and they've shut down the schools, and they have helicopters patrolling, trying to find the other animals that are still loose, and they're telling people, just do not come out of your homes. These are not domesticated in any way. So the whole county's under quarantine at this point. 48 animals lived in the cages outside the house. More inside. All the animals inside were still in their cages. What was set loose were grizzly and black bears, several species of large lions, tigers, cheetahs, and other critters.
Why exactly did this guy have all this stuff in his house?
Apparently, in Ohio, it's not illegal to have exotic animals.
It seems to me like somebody should have maybe contacted the authorities to have that animals.
It talks about that, and apparently, and he had just gotten out of jail, by the way, after being arrested from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms for owning 100 guns in his home, many of them machine guns and illegal firearms. This is quite a character here. His wife left him a little while ago. I'm just reading this now for the first time. His wife left him a little bit ago, no kidding. But Ohio has no rules regarding the sale and ownership of exotic animals. The Humane Society got a report and went out, and they said all the animals were well cared for and well fed. So, yeah, wow, what a story.
The whole thing is disturbing. So,
If you had, but think about if you had a farm in the area, with your horses. That's farm industry there. You would be, what do you do, Get your gun out and go sit out by the barn, I guess. That gives you chills when you think about that.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Okay, the guy won't be causing any problems, but I feel bad for the animals that are just getting obliterated because they're loose. Poor little things. I hope. Run to the north. Go to Canada. Run.
Yeah.
Go to the wilderness in Canada. They'll leave you alone.
That's right. Head north. Not too far to Canada from Ohio. So, I'm very excited that you're. What hubby has in store for your birthday. You guys have only been married a year, so you're still technically newlyweds. So there could be something really good here. You might not get a vacuum cleaner.
I might get an actual gas-powered leaf blower. That would be really awesome. No.
Or you could be like Rick Connolly, who bought his wife a lawnmower.
But she was excited about it, from what he says. I would like to say that he did tell me to take the day off, and that he was going to take a half day. So I've got the morning to get all my chores done and get my horse ridden, and then he's going to come home. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where we're going, what we're doing. He hasn't said anything. So I don't know if he actually has anything planned or not. We'll see, I guess.
All right. Well, good luck. Have fun today. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'd like to thank all our guests for being on today. You know, the blanket repair guy, Chris, was kind of funny. And Dr. Nielsen has a sense of humor.
That guy, you wouldn't think that a Swedish veterinarian that specializes in worms would be a funny guy, but apparently I was wrong.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody. Don't forget you can find all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. The Western Radio Show just came out today. And ironically, they were talking about chuck wagons. We spent a lot of time talking about chuck wagons. We saw at Martin's Auction on the Driving Radio Show. And then they talked to there's a National Chuck Wagon Association. And apparently there's still chuck wagon competitions where they all get together and cook chuck wagon food and have competitions. And that's what the Western Radio Show was all about this week at westernradioshow.com. Jamie, have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. here at Horses in the Morning.
Sounds good. Can we play some Templeton Thompson out? Because now I got the Zenyatta song stuck in my head.
Yada, Zenyatta. There you go.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Meringale.
I would say we'll see you at Keeler's, but that's kind of weird on your birthday.
Well, she talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What? Dream about them. I live to love them, and I love to ride. I'll always have them, be lost without.